Thank you for listening to this sermon from Seven Springs Presbyterian Church. If you want to learn more about us, please find us on Facebook or visit us at sevenspringspresbyterian.com.
With a word open before us, let us go to the Lord in prayer. O Lord, we pray that you would light our steps that are before us this very evening. Lord, that you would work within us through the Holy Spirit as we read your word and hear your word preached, that it would touch a very heart, that we would leave here a changed people for your glory. Lord, that we would be convicted of sin, drawn unto you. See that our hope is found in Christ and Christ alone. Lord, we would see the victory remains of those who are Christ's and the others whom are defeated. Lord, we pray that you'd be with us now during this time as we hear your word preached and proclaimed. We'll pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hear now the word Lord from Genesis chapter 36. This is God's holy, inerrant, infallible word. Please take heed how you hear. These are the generations of Esau, that is Edom. Esau took his wives from the Canaanites, Adah, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, Oholibamah, the daughter of Anah, the daughter of Zibeon the Hivite, and Basemath, the Ishmael's daughter, and the sister of Nebobath, and Adah, who bore to Esau Eliphaz. Basemath bore Reuel, and Oholibamah bore Jeush, Jalam, and Korah. And these are the sons of Esau who were born to him in the land of Canaan. Esau took his wives, his sons, his daughters, and all the members of his household, his livestock, and all his beasts, and all his property that he had acquired in the land of Canaan, and he went into the land away from his brother Jacob, for his possessions were too great for them to dwell together. The land of the sojournings could not support them because of their livestock. So Esau settled in the hill country of Seir. Esau is Edom. These are the generations of Esau, the father of the Edomites, the hill country of Seir. These are the names of Esau's son, Eliphaz, the son of Adah, the wife of Esau, Reuel, the son of Basemath, the wife of Esau. The sons of Eliphaz were Teman, Omar, Zepho, Gatam, Kenaz. Tima was a concubine of Eliphaz's son, Esau's son. She bore Amalek to Eliphaz. These are the sons of Adah, Esau's wife, and these are the sons of Reuel, Nathan, Zerah, Shema, Mizaz. And these are the sons of Bathimas, Esau's wife. And these are the sons of Oholibamah, the daughter of Anah, the daughter of Zibeon, Esau's wife. She bore to Esau Jeush, Jalam, and Korah. These are the chiefs of the sons of Esau, and the sons of Eliphaz, the firstborns of Esau. The chiefs, Teman, Omar, Zepho, Kenan, Kenaz, Korah, Gatam, and Amalek. These are the chiefs of Eliphaz and the sons of Edom. These are the sons of Adah, the sons of Reuel, Esau's son, the chiefs, Nathan, Zerah, Shema, and Mizzah. And these are the chiefs of Reuel in the land of Edom. And these are the sons of Basemath, Esau's wife. And these are the sons of Oholibamah, Esau's wife, the chiefs, Jeush, Jalam, and Korah. And these are the chiefs born of Oholibamah, the daughter of Anah, Esau's wife. And these are the sons of Esau, that is Edom. These are their priests, chiefs. These are the sons of Seir, the Horite, the inhabitants of land, Lotan, Shobal, Zibeon, Anah, Dishon, Ezer, Dishan. And these are the chiefs of the Horites, the sons of Seir, in the land of Eden. And the sons of Lotan were Horai and Heman. And Lotan's sister was Timnah. And these are the sons of Shobal, Alvan, Manahath, Elbal, Shippo, and Onam. And these are the sons of Zibeon, Ida, and Anah. And these are Anah, who was found hot springs in the wilderness, and he pastured the donkeys of Zibeon, his father. And these are the children of Anah, Dishon, and Oholibamah, the daughter of Anah. And these are the sons of Dishon, Hemdan, Ishban, Ithran, Kiran. And these are the sons of Ezer, Bilhan, Zavan, and Elkan, the sons of Dishan, were Uz and Aran. These are the chiefs of the Horites, the chiefs of Lothan and Shorbal, Zibian, Anna, and Dishan, Ezer, and Dishan. And these are the chiefs of the Horites, the chief by chief in the land of Seir. And these are the kings who reigned in the land of Edom, before the king reigned over the Israelites. Bela, the sons of Beor, reigned in Edom. The name of his city was Dinhaba. And Bela died, and Jobab, the son of Zerah of Borah, reigned in his place. Jobab died, and Hosham, the land of the Temanites, reigned in his place. Hosham died, and Hadad, the son of Bedad, who reigned Midian in the country of Moab, reigned in his place. The name of the city was Avith. Hadad died, and Shamla and Mishakra reigned in his place. Shamla died, and Shula and Rehoboth on the Euphrates reigned in his place. Shual died, and Baal Hanan, the son of Achbor, reigned in his place. Baal Hanan, the son of Achbor, died, and Hadah reigned in his place. The name of the city, Bin Peel. His wife's name was Methabel, the daughter of Methred, the daughter of Methab. Excuse me. These are names of the chiefs of Esau according to the clans of their dwelling places. By their names, the chiefs Timnah, Alva, Jepheth, Ohabibama, Elah, Pinon, Kenaz, Teman, Mibzah, Magdiel, and Aram, and the chiefs of Edom, that is Esau, the father of Edom, according to their dwelling places on land of their possession. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our Lord stands forever. This passage, a genealogy, one of my dreaded moments of reading through Bible passages is passages like this. Pronouncing names is never an easy task, and often names of different cultures, it's very difficult. But we need to understand that the genealogy is a part of the Bible, is God-inspired. These are not merely just great names to get names for your children, or merely just to fill some space. But this genealogy follows a similar placement to that of what we've seen before in Genesis, particularly Genesis chapter 25. In Genesis chapter 25, Abraham dies and is buried by his two sons. After being buried by his two sons, then we see the generations of Ishmael. The line, the death of the patriarch, the two sons, the blessing and promise. Isaac has the promise given to him by his father Abraham, and now the death of the two sons of Isaac, Esau and Jacob. And following that, the promise given to Jacob and not Esau. Esau is the first to get the genealogy. So now Moses includes the genealogy of Esau. And now in chapter 36, we have the generations of Esau. Also in the generation of genealogy in chapter 25, it's written to be able to fulfill the promise given to Abraham that through you, he says, as Abraham is told in chapter 17, that through Isaac, all the nations shall be named. I will establish my covenant with him, speaking of Isaac, an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him. But in verse 20, we're told that God tells Abraham as he cried out, "Oh, that Ishmael shall live before you." And God gives a promise of what will happen to Ishmael. "For as for Ishmael, I have heard you," he said in verse 20. "Behold, I have blessed him, and I will make him fruitful and multiply him greatly. He will be a father of 12 princes, and I will make him into a great nation." And so too, with that, we understand that there are three verses which help us to understand chapter 36. Why chapter 36 is included? There is one that we've read and one later in this passage. The first is we see the word to Rebekah of the two nations, which is found in Genesis chapter 25, verse 23. These two twins are in her womb, and she has great pain and torment, and she goes to the Lord in prayer, and the Lord answers her in verse 23 and says, two nations are in your womb. The two peoples from within you shall be divided. Just as previously to chapter 36, we've noted this is the first time Jacob is called by Israel, the nation which will bear his name, that will descend from Jacob. This is the nation, the name that is given to the 12 tribes of Israel. And we see too, now we see the nation which descends from Esau in this passage. Throughout this passage, Moses, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, interrupts from that standard format of these genealogies. But he constantly reminding us that it's not merely generations of Esau, it's Esau leads to the nation which is Edom. In verse 1, Esau, we're reminded that is Edom. In verse 8, Esau, that is Edom. Verse 9, Esau, the father of the Edomites. Verse 16, the chiefs Eliphaz in the land of Edom. Verse 17, the chiefs of Reuel, the land of Edom. In verse 19, the sons of Esau, that is Edom. In verse 31, and these are the kings who reigned in the land of Edom. And just in case we didn't get it, verse 43, and these are the chiefs of Edom, that is Esau, the father of Edom, according to their dwelling place in their land of their possession. So eight times in this passage, we're reminded that Esau leads to Edom. There's two nations in your womb, God tells Rebekah, two nations in your womb, and Israel comes from Jacob, Edom comes from Esau. And when we think about the promise being given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which is broad, we can make it simple. Specifically, offspring leads to a nation. And land, specifically the land of Canaan, the promised land, is given. These are the promises that have flowed throughout Genesis. We've looked and unpacked this. That God promises that you will be a nation. This offspring will come from you, and you will have a land. And this is why we see in this connection between nation and land as well. The generations of Esau, that is Edom, and where they dwell. Their possessions in their land, the land Seir. And then at the start of chapter 37, we see, and Jacob lived in the land of his father, sojournings in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. So you see these two sons, they have the promise of offspring, they have the promise of land, and there's a separation between who Jacob's offspring, Esau's offspring, and the land in which they dwell. Esau is a nation, which turns into Edom. Jacob is the nation which turns into Israel. So you have the contrast of this promised land and the offspring. So we see the offspring in this passage. We also see the land in this offspring, this deliberate separation between Jacob's land, Israel's land, and Edom's land, Esau's land. In verses 6 and 8, we see the separation that two nations are in your womb. Two nations then have two lands, which they call their own. In verses 6 and 8, and Esau took his wives, his sons, his daughters, and all the members of his household, his livestock, and all his beasts, and all the property that he acquired in the land of Canaan. And he went to land away from his brother Jacob, for their possessions were too great for them to dwell together. And the land their sojournings could not support them because of their livestock. So Esau settled in the hill country of Seir. Esau is Edom. So you see here that he has this offspring in the beginning of verse 6. He goes through all of his offspring, his possessions, his property that he had acquired in the land of Canaan. And then he went away. There was a separation. These two nations, not only nations in name, but nations in space, possessions and land. And he doesn't move into the promised land. He moves into the land of Seir, the hill country of Seir. So we see the fulfillment of the prophecy made to Rebekah that there was two sons in her womb, that two sons from there's two sons come two nations. Nations is a promise of land and offspring. Two peoples shall be divided. And we see this divide here. The Jacob and Esau divide in their land. We see the offspring as well. A list of children of Esau. Three wives are listed here, but we know from previous verses that he's had a total of six wives. He's taken four from the Hittites, Judas, Bashemath, Ada, Oholibama. That is a good name. Ishmael's daughters, he's taken two wives. Basima, which is different because we're told that the other one's a Hittite. And Mahalath. And we're not only told that he has six wives, we're told that from these six wives he has a total of 14 sons. See this repeated in verses 9 to 14. The key, Eliphaz, his firstborn, which we'll look at later. So we see this connection as a fulfillment of promises from God to Rebekah. That there's two nations in your womb, and we see that with this promise through this passage. But the second we see is a word from Isaac in Genesis chapter 27, verses 39 to 40. Then Isaac, his father, answered to him, "Behold, away from the fatness of the earth you shall be your dwelling, and away from the dew of heaven on high. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother, but when you grow restless, you shall break his yoke from your neck." The key in this verse, this blessing, this anti-blessing, it's not so much a curse, although you might call it a curse. It's more that you, where the blessing is, you will be far from it. You will be away from your blessing. You'll be away from the fatness of the earth, away from the dew of heaven. We see this in the offspring and land that he moves away. But also we see this fulfillment in the last line. When you grow restless, you shall break his yoke from your neck. Not only the promise given to Rebekah, that he will serve the younger, that there's two nations in your womb. We see this. But Isaac also promises that you will break free. You will free yourself. You will separate yourself. When you grow restless, you shall break his yoke from your neck. But not only would he be his own nation with land and offspring, he would be his own nation with land and offspring and his own rulers. And we see this. We see his own rulers and chiefs in verses 15 to 19. And these are the chiefs of the sons of Esau. Down to verse 19. These are the sons of Esau, that is Edom, and these are their chiefs. By contrast, it is that Israel, who also will have tribes, and now you see Edom have tribes and their chiefs. Not only he will break free from his yoke by having his own rulers as chief, but they would also have their own kings. We see this in verse 31 and 39. Again, contrasted with Israel, opposed to Israel, in verse 31, these are the kings who reigned in the land of Edom before any king reigned over the Israelites. Now, some people explain this is why Genesis must have been edited before any king. That you would only make that comment if you knew that they were going to have kings. But Moses, who wrote Genesis, knew that kings would come from Abraham and Israel. Genesis 17, God tells Abraham, "I will make you exceedingly fruitful and make you into nations, and kings shall come from you." In Genesis 49, when Jacob is blessing Judah, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah," he says, "the ruler's staff from between his feet." Not only did he write Genesis, but he also wrote Deuteronomy. where it speaks of kings in Israel and what they are to do. To say that something has not happened yet is not evidence to say that it's written after something happens. Moses knows that kings will be in Israel's history, so therefore to say that they haven't had kings yet is not an argument. But Esau has his own land, his offspring, his chiefs and kings. But they also have a little bit more of a backstory in this genealogy about the history of Esau and how he came back to the land of Seir. We see this in verses 20 to 30. Here we see the important piece of the puzzle to help us explain the connection to the land of Seir. Trying to explain this can be complicated, and piecing together is, you know, trying to explain what seconds, cousins, twice removes means. And to do so without forms of charts and family trees can be hard, like reading a statement out loud. But I'll seek to do this in the simplest ways. The seer is a person, the Horite. He has four sons. But Seir also has a daughter, Timnah. We see this in verse 22. And Eliphaz, who I said is very important, one of the keys of this, he marries Timnah, the daughter of Seir the Horite. So Eliphaz marries Timnah, the daughter of Seir. And we see this in verse 12. Timnah was the concubine of Eliphaz, Esau's son, and she bore Amalek to Eliphaz. And this is where the Amalekites come from. Agag in 1 Samuel, Haman in the book of Esther. But we also see then another connection to Seir as well, that Esau married Oholibamah. See this in verse 2. That Oholibamah, the daughter of Anah, the daughter of Zibeon, the Hivite. You have Seir, Zibeon, Anah, Oholibamah. Esau marries Seir's great-granddaughter. This tension in the womb that would be between Esau and Edom, and they would have many conflicts with the Edomites. It would not allow the Israelites to pass through their land. They would come later in Israel's history to raid Jerusalem. It would be from Herod, the Edomite, a descendant of Esau, who would be one of the rulers who would put Jesus to death. The bitterness felt by Isaac and Rebekah from their marriage of his first two wives would be an image of this relationship between the Edomites and the Israelites. Seeing the word to Rebekah, the word to Isaac, and lastly we see a word from God. Malachi 1 verse 2 to 5. I have loved you, says the Lord. But you say, how have you loved us? Is not Esau Jacob's brother, declares the Lord. Yet I have loved Jacob, but Esau I have hated. I have laid waste his hill country and left his heritage to jackals of the desert. If Edom says, we have shattered, but we will rebuild the ruins, the Lord of hosts said, they may rebuild, but I will tear down, and they will be called the wicked country and the people of whom the Lord is angry forever. Your own eyes shall see this, and you shall say, great is the Lord beyond the border of Israel. We'll study more of this as we potentially will look, God willing, at the book of Obadiah coming up in the summer. But it's Esau who was happy to be able to sell his birthright for a single meal in chapter 25. He was able to sell his birthright for bread and a lentil stew. That he despised his birthright, we are told. Before he was born, we see that both Jacob and Esau deserve nothing. But it's God's choice as the potter molds the clay. Esau's tears came not for missing the promise of God, but for missing the physical blessings which Isaac had. Genesis 27, as you remember, Esau comes and cries out to his father, "Bless me, even me, also my father." That Jacob had come deceitfully and taken away your blessing. "And he'd taken away my blessing," he repeats. "Have you not reserved a blessing for me?" He sought possessions. From what it seems, his concern was not God and awaiting another country, but the possessions of this world. And that is what he got. He got his land. He got his offspring. He got his chiefs and kings. However, all of this was for nothing. The sad tale of the man who got everything he ever wanted, but nothing of what he truly needed. Compared to Jacob, Esau's life does not seem to be marked with pain that we know of, but success. His quiver was full. He becomes a nation to his own rise. A mighty nation in this time. Kings came from him. He got a land. He got everything he ever wanted from Isaac. The physical blessings. And it seems in Esau's life there was no sorrow, only joy. But it's only if you look at Esau's life through the eyes of man, and not through the word of God. That here is the story of Esau, which is sadly what everyone in this world seeks to be able to aspire to. To be able to have more things, more fame, more popular, more people around you. But it speaks nothing of the condition of the soul. As that verse in Malachi said. The difference between Jacob and Esau is not what they have. Both of them become two nations. Both of them have their own land. Both of them have their own kings and rulers. The difference is between God's election. Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. We should never be able to then judge someone from an outward appearance as a true condition of their soul. For if we did, we would think that Esau would be the one who is blessed, and Jacob is the one who is cursed. But the opposite is the truth. That all Jacob's life is marked with oppression. Jacob's life is marked with pain and loss. It is Jacob who is blessed by God, and Esau who is cursed. The sad tale of Esau is that he sought the birthright and the blessing with tears, but he did not seek God. He did not want God's blessing. And what a cautionary tale for us also, that we would seek the desires and treasures and riches of this world and get everything we ever wanted, but nothing what we ever needed, which is Christ and the blessing of Christ. Let's go to Him in prayer. O gracious Heavenly Father, we give You thanks and we give You praise that Your Word does indeed work within us, shows us and convicts us of our sin. We thank You for passages like this that show us a great warning of outward appearances that seek not the truth and seek not the blessing of God. Lord, we pray that our hearts would be drawn to You, that in the end we understand the difference between Jacob and Esau is Your love towards them. We pray that you would love us only through your Son, only through his works. That we'd seek not the temporal blessings of this world to build our own kingdom and have our own possessions, but to seek first the kingdom of God, the inheritance and the riches found only in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Seven Springs Presbyterian Church began in 1874 and is a congregation of the Presbyterian Church in America located in Glade Spring, Virginia. For more information, please visit us at sevenspringspresbyterian.com for his glory and his gospel. Please join us for worship on Sunday at 10 a.m. and 6 p.m.